God, as we prepare to feast on your word, I pray that you would bless it. God, we want you to be a part of our growth. We need you to be a part of our growth, and we invite you to continue moving in our hearts as we open our ears and our minds and our hearts to you, God. May you be the only thing that we hear in the next few moments. May it be clear. May it be concise. May it be exactly what we need today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm sure many of you have noticed my little brown bag up here and are curious, is he really that hungry? Well, I will tell you that even though I lost my taste for a little while, when I would eat, within 15 minutes, I was starving. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever experienced in my life, and yet I lost 10 pounds. So maybe we're just supposed to eat all the time, and that's the secret to weight loss. I'm just kidding. Don't try that. I don't think that's going to work at all. But I did bring my lunch today because I wanted to share with you what I usually pack if I pack, and especially all through high school and even now if I brown bag it. This is what I usually pack for lunch for me because I know it will sustain me at least until dinner because I like to eat. But I'm very, very simple. I have a peanut butter and strawberry jelly sandwich. Very particular. Can't be grape. I usually include a little half peanut butter sandwich just to make sure I have enough peanut butter. I generally go with the normal barbecue potato chip because that's the only good kind of potato chip that there is. You cannot have a brown bag lunch without a Nutty Bar. So, yes, that's a lot of peanut butter. I get that. However, I'm a growing boy, and I need... And, of course, can anybody guess what my drink of choice is? Dr. Pepper. That will be sufficient for me. After I've eaten my breakfast, when lunch comes, I can eat that, and it will keep me satisfied until dinner. But I know come dinner time, guess what? I'm going to be hungry again because we all know that food only satisfies us for just a little while. If you are around our household any time at all, you will find that Emma is concerned about where we will eat lunch and dinner out all the time. And by the time we have decided where we are eating one, she will automatically be concerned about the other. And by the time we are eating dinner that night, she's already talking about the next day's lunch and dinner. It's not because she likes to eat. She just knows that's fun for her and where she wants to be. But we all are concerned about food. We all want something to satisfy us. But it's not just about food either. I guarantee you, if we were to go over to Children's Church and start talking to the kids or go down the kids' wing, most of those kids have already begun making their Christmas wish lists for next Christmas. In fact, I bet some of you adults have already started thinking, well, I didn't get it this year, so I'm going to ask to get it next year. Because things only satisfy us for a little while. Even as we're watching people open up gifts, it's satisfying to the gift giver and to the gift receiver, but we know that after the excitement of that gift wears off, they're going to be looking for that next one. Do you know how I know that? Because I'm a human being, and that's what I do. And I know that's what you do. Because we are unsatisfiable in a big way. We get stuff that we think is going to make us feel better, and we go after things that we think is going to satisfy us, but the moment we get it and experience it, yes, there is great rejoicing in our souls because we got that thing we were longing for, but as soon as it wears off, we're on to the next thing. Am I the only one? Okay, good. I'm sure I am not. And so we're going to be looking at a story today that we have heard a gazillion times, I guarantee you, and it's found in Matthew chapter 14. It's the story of feeding of the 5,000. Now you're thinking, okay, this is after Christmas, right before New Year's, and you're going to speak on feeding of the 5,000, but it actually is very appropriate. If I had been here a couple of Sundays ago, I would have spoken on this very topic because it's very appropriate to what we just went through of Christmas. It's the satisfying of our souls, the things that we think will satisfy us really just do not. We're always looking for that next big thing, that next great thing. And for us, as we look at our story today, it is very apparent as to what Jesus was talking about and referring to. So here's our thought for today. God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. You see, we always think we need this big, lavish, extravagant thing, extravagant meal or extravagant gift or extravagant vacation to satisfy those things within us that we think we need. And yes, those things are enjoyable, but again, once we get them, it's over. And we want the next thing. Well, God flips that upside down. And he says, let me show you what I can do with what you think is ordinary, and I will do something extraordinary with it. He's done that all my life. I've watched him take things that seemingly are meaningless, things that seemingly are ordinary, and turn it upside down right in front of my face and blow my mind. That is why I get so excited about serving him. It's why I'm so passionate about going after him, because I know what my God is able to do, and it is something that I have feasted on for a long time. You see, when we find truth from Scripture, when we find truth from God's actions, that is what we are satisfied with, because now we know what it feels like and we look for it from here on out, and it never, ever goes away. When I learned a long time ago that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, it is a joy for me to watch for it. It is a joy for me to see something that seems absolutely impossible, to hear people around me say there's no way that's going to happen. And I just sit back and in my own little head say, we'll see. We'll see. I remember way back when I was a youth pastor in Alabama, and we were trying to plan a trip across the country to go to take our kids to California to serve at a church there in California. And we were really short in our fundraising. And I remember my pastor, who was super wise, and I learned so much from him, calls me into his office and he says, Alan, I don't think you're going to make it. You're too close. You need to think of plan B. Now, I have a confession. Out loud, I said, yes, sir, I will. And inside, I'm thinking, nope. And I walked out of his office, and I never gave it another thought, because I knew this is exactly what God wanted for us to do. And you know what he did? He didn't just meet the amount of money that we needed. He actually gave us a couple of $1,000s more than what we had asked for. It was, again, another opportunity for me to watch God do something ordinary, or take something ordinary and make it absolutely extraordinary. And so let's get into the scripture. Let's feast a little bit. Let's eat a little bit today and see what God has for us through his words. In Matthew chapter 14, this is just after John the Baptist has been beheaded. And Jesus hears about it. And he hears that Herod is kind of thinking that Jesus is John the Baptist to come after him. And so Jesus hears this, gets not nervous, but he's like, you know what, I'm out. So when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Now, you would find, if we looked in Mark and John, that the disciples are actually with him. He goes with them, and they get away. And they kind of, once they get away, they kind of separate a little bit to take some time for themselves. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now, this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus is taking time for himself. He's kind of reprogramming. He's gathering himself. He's taking a deep breath. But when he walks out and sees the mass amount of people that are there to see him, it moves him with compassion. And he goes out and does what Jesus does. He heals their sick. And in Mark and John, it talks about he teaches them as well. When it was evening, so this is happening all day long, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus says to them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. So the disciples are reasonable people. They see this massive amount of group of people. Now, we know that it's at least 5,000 men. That doesn't count women and children. So we could, if we wanted to, triple that. We've got 1,500 people there. Excuse me, 15,000 people. That's the math major for you there. And Jesus looks at his disciples, because his disciples come to him and said, listen, Like, these are hungry people. We have nothing to give them. Let's send them back to the villages. Let's be nice to the villages around. Let's let them make some money. Send them away. Let them go eat. And we'll continue this later. And Jesus looks at them, which just makes me giggle, and says, no, you feed them. You take care of them. At least 5,000 people. That's a little more than what we have here today. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, no, you take care of it. I know they're hungry. Let's be hospitable. Let's take care of their needs and do something for them. Verse 17, they said to them, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, in other gospels, we find that they find this little lad and they bring him to Jesus kind of as a smart aleck response for the most part. And they say, look, all we have are these 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Now, these aren't like loaf bread loaves, and these aren't massive salmon. These are probably 2 little sardines and 5 little barley loaves, enough for a child. Let's say he's 12, to eat on. It's enough for a small boy to eat on, to keep him satisfied until he comes back home to eat at home. And Jesus hears the disciples say, well, all we have are 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. And Jesus says this. He says, bring them here to me. Now, if I were a disciple at this point in time, and I've seen some cool stuff, I'd be like, all right, here he goes again. What's he going to do now? He commanded the multitudes in verse 19 to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he says the blessing over them like we always do, right? And somehow or another, as he's dividing it up to the disciples to pass out among this massive amount of people, he just continues to break and break and break and break. And the disciples keep coming back and getting more and taking it and distributing. I wish I could have seen their faces. Like, where's he doing this? How's he doing this? Where's he getting all this extra bread? Did you see him get some more? Like, I can just hear the rumblings. And now the people, they don't know what's going on. They're not, maybe they have no idea that it's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe he said, all right, everybody, have a seat. We're going to feed you. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let me pray over it, and then I'm going to pass it out to all of you. Now, again, the crowd of at least 5,000 people probably would have thought, you're a lunatic. But now they all have enough to eat and enough leftovers to fill 12 baskets. Now, when I was a kid, I always thought these were like those big baskets like people would carry on their shoulders. Like, you know what I'm talking about? These are little baskets that people carried. It's almost like a man purse. What are those things called? Yeah, I tried to cross that out of my head because I don't even like that. But a fanny pack. So it's a little basket that they would have held. And they filled 12 of them. One for each of the disciples. Coincidence? No. Not at all. The people had enough to satisfy their need and some to bless those who were serving. Jesus took something so ordinary, so common, so much so that it was almost overlooked by the disciples as being useful. And Jesus said, no, you bring that to me. Let me bless it. And watch what our Father can do. In the other Gospels, we find that the people were blown away by what he did. And they recognized really quickly that this is the prophet. Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, that's kind of rude because he's more than just a prophet. But when it talks about prophet, it was referring to the fact that he was the Messiah, the great teacher that was to come. And they recognized that he was from somewhere else. Like, this guy was special. The problem is they didn't continue with it, which is so much like a lot of what happens in churches. They hear the great gospel message. They hear the great things that Jesus offers. They hear the great truths in Scripture. And they acknowledge, yes, that sounds good. And they walk out satisfied, but only to leave it at the door. There's so much to this story that I just love. Let me share a few things with you this morning. There are appropriate times to socially distance. I had to throw that in there. For a physical and mental recharge. There are times where it is wise for us to pull away just a little bit and take a deep breath spiritually. There are times for us to step back and take a deep breath to recharge physically. It's the reason I left a couple of weeks ago, because I needed just to come back up for some air, just to take a quick breath, to go back to some friends that I knew would just let me be and let me rest. And unfortunately, I gave them the gift that kept on giving for 10 days. So there you go. But getting away is important. Even if it's just a secluded place in your house. Now, 10 days, I don't recommend that. That is really, really tough. But taking a day or a two just to reprogram, to refocus on what is good and what is right. Jesus did it regularly. He taught his disciples regularly to step away, take a breath, spend time with God, and recharge. I get that we are busy, and I guarantee you many of you are thinking, well, man, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to get away. We have time for the things that are truly important to us. And if your life truly is in God's hands, then he wants to use whatever ordinary things that he has blessed you with to make them extraordinary, but he needs all of you, which may mean you need to take a breath. It may mean you need to reschedule some things. It may mean you need to cut out some things. It may mean you need to take a day and just be with him. I'm all for being busy. I enjoy being busy. It keeps me out of trouble. But I know when I've had enough and I need to stop and I need to breathe. It's okay sometimes to socially distance. Jesus did it. His disciples did it. Which really means we need to do it as well. Here's the next thing. Jesus was moved with compassion to teach and to heal those who came. You know what I love about that idea? We are a church. And if we are not careful, we can have a mentality that the church exists only for us. And that if you don't fit our mold or look the way we look or sing the way we sing or believe the way we believe, you're not welcome here ever. And the reality is, Jesus never said that. He never exemplified that. In fact, he invited anybody that was willing to listen to come. And every opportunity he had, he lit them up. He did it with love. He did it with compassion. But he did it with conviction. And he shared truth with anybody that was willing to listen. Every opportunity that Jesus had, he shared truth with people, knowing that some of them would just walk away and wouldn't care a lick about it. Knowing that some would say, yes, that sounds so good, but the moment that they left, they would just live their life like they normally would. But he was banking on those who came looking for a change and would listen to what he had to offer and believe it as faith to what he had to say. And their life would forever be changed. That longing that they were trying to satisfy with everything else would be satisfied because of the truth that he shared with them. Excuse me. Now, there were some reasonable expectations there. The reasonable expectation was coming from the disciples to Jesus. He says, they're hungry. These people are hungry, so let's feed them. When people come to our church, do you know why they're coming to the church? Because they're hungry. They don't maybe realize that they're hungry, or maybe they don't know what they're hungry for, but they know when something moves within them that something is different. And that is what we are aiming for. That's what we're shooting for. In fact, when you come in, When you come in every Sunday, your heart should be longing for a connection with Him that can only be satisfied by Him. And when those people came, they were hungry. And the reasonable expectation of the disciples were simply, look, we need to feed these people. They came with a need, a visible need, common sense need. And let's meet that need. But here's the reasonable response. We're not prepared to take care of them. We're not prepared to meet the needs of those out there that are coming to us. We're not prepared to meet with the alcoholic or the drug addict or the sex addict or the porn addict or the people that are getting divorced. We're not prepared for any of that. So keep that out there. We only want people that are pretty much okay to where we don't have to deal with that. If that's the church you're looking for, I promise you, you are in the wrong place. We want people that are doing well. We want people that want to continue to grow, but we also want those that don't know that they need Jesus yet too. We want those that are coming with all their junk, looking for a place to be healed and to leave it, and we want to meet that need. How dare we as a church say, no, we can't meet that need, you need to go. Shame on us. Let them go to another church. Hey, we know a church down the road. Why don't you go try that one? You know what? You know what I want to be? I want to be that church down the road. Hey, you come here. We will love on you. We will do our best to help you. And if we can't help you, we will find a place for you to be helped. But give us a shot. Don't give us a shot. Just come and sit and experience what we get to experience every Sunday and give Jesus a shot. But Jesus' response is priceless. Because the other expectations are normally what we have. Well, that's too much drama. That's too big of an issue. We can't fix that. But Jesus says, you are able and you are prepared. If you have me living within you, you're ready. If you have me as your Savior and your Lord and the one guiding you, guess what? You are more prepared than you think you are. For years, I told him, nope, not ready. Mm-mm, I don't want to do that. And for years, he said, yes, you are, you big baby. Get over yourself. It's not about you anyway. I just need an ordinary dude to do something extraordinary. Well, I'm your guy. He said, yeah, yes, you are. I'm ready to use you. And folks, listen. I don't care what you're doing in life. I don't care where you're working in life. I don't care how old you are in life. God wants to use each and every one of you. The question is, are you willing to trust that you are ready and are prepared through Him? Are you willing to say, God, whatever it is, I'm ready to do it? But there cannot be any reservation. There can't be any tags. And there can't be any but God. It's all or nothing. And when you get to the place where you can honestly and legitimately say, I'm all in, you better hang on. Because He will take whatever ordinary talent He has blessed you with and make it absolutely extraordinary. Will it look like mine? Maybe not. Will it look like somebody on the stage? No, maybe not. Will it be somebody in the back in the sound booth? Maybe not. Maybe you're extraordinary thing that will happen is the smile that God places on your face that comes from somewhere else. We have to get out of this notion that I'm only blessed and used of God if I'm on the stage or if I'm being seen. No! These were disciples handing out food. And God did something extraordinary through them. He simply asked the question, what do you have? We ask that a lot, actually, as leaders, like, what do you offer? What can you do? What do you have? How can we use you? It's the same thing God's asking. And you may not know yet. You may not know exactly what it is. You may be 75 years old and never, ever ask God, God, what is it in me that you want to use? Let me tell you. Again, I say, if you're not dead yet, He's not done with you. And maybe he's just waiting for your willingness to say, God, I'm here, I'll do whatever. Because he wants to show you. That's the coolest thing that I love about him. Things that I thought I would never be capable of doing. God looked at me and he said, Alan, you're more ready than you think you are. You just trust me and I'll prove it to you. Now let me tell you, that's scary, it's overwhelming, but it is the best ride you will ever ride in your entire life. Hands down. Hands down. So Jesus' response to our normal, reasonable expectations of, hey, we need to feed these people, but we have nothing to offer them. He says, yes, you do. Trust me. Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Now that's kind of weird, right? But think about it. He says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He says, if you will just come to me, I promise you, you will be satisfied. Now, does that mean I will never have to eat another peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a Nutty Bar? I hope not, because I really love these. These are my favorite. It's not what it's talking about. Do you remember back in John 1 where it talks about that the Word became flesh? Remember that whole passage where Jesus came, where God came in a human form as Jesus, and Jesus is the living, breathing, spoken Word of God. And that is what we are to feast on because he is the bread of life. I love that. He goes on further in that passage. That is a great passage to read, John chapter 6, by the way. It is actually the explanation to all the people a day later after feeding the 5,000, trying to help them understand why he did what he did and to help them understand that the food that he gave them is only going to satisfy them for a little bit longer, but what I offer you will satisfy you for a lifetime. He says this. He says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, talking about himself. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He said, listen, when God took care of the children of Israel out in the desert and fed them with manna, yes, for that day they were satisfied, but they ended up dying because it wasn't enough. He says, he who eats this bread will live forever. He says, he who follows after me and feasts on me, follows my words, my life, you will live forever. And I love this idea that what was meant to feed a child, Jesus blessed and fed over 5,000. Now, here's a little insight to my brain. I worry a lot of times that we aren't the glitz and glamoury church that we see growing and thriving. We don't have the flashy lights. We don't have the booming, massive praise team. We don't have all of that. And sometimes I worry about that. Like, man, we got to have that for people to come. But then I start thinking, wait a second. Whoa. You just did a Christmas Eve service that was as simple as you could possibly do it. You literally sat in a chair and read to people. And yet it was God's message. And it was enough. Because if we can get past the glitz and the glamour and see it for what it really is, that is the most important thing. However, if we get too caught up with not trying to keep up with everybody else and just do it our own way, that can become its own problem within itself. Because Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Let's meet the need of the people." The people had a need. Well, what is the need of the people outside these doors? I'm not worried about the need here. We're in. We are going after God. Hopefully, you're going to be here regardless of what happens because it's about the message of Christ and what he can do. But our goal is to figure out what the need is out there to get them in order to teach them and to preach to them the gospel of Jesus. And here's what I love about this. Because our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. When Jesus looked at that little meal, that little 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he said, watch this. That is the God we serve. That is the Savior who lives within you. That is the Spirit that guides you. He wants to take those ordinary things and make them extraordinary. Now, I want you to think about this. We can be as simple and as plain and as ordinary as we possibly can. And if we will do it with the right heart, with the right spirit, and for His glory, God will magnify it no matter how glitzy and glamoury it is. Now, does that mean that we never try to reach those out there? No. We find that balance. We find the balance that magnifies Him, but is also somewhat exciting to those that are out there that are looking for something new. Because watch this. What was He really doing? Here's a couple of things. He says, let's meet their physical need while strategically showing them something spiritually significant. That was huge for me when I read this story again. He said, let's meet their need. Let's feed them. But while we're feeding them, I'm going to do something so extraordinarily different that it's going to speak to them spiritually. So we're going to do church. And we're going to do church that is somewhat attractive to the outside world. But we're not going to change our message. We're going to attract them in. We're going to get them in here. And then we're going to meet that little need that they think they have, but we're going to hit them between the eyes with something spiritually that they need more than ever. And that's going to look different for every church. And if we try to keep up with all the other churches, we're going to fail. It is imperative for us to know our culture and who we're trying to reach and go in that direction. That is exactly what Jesus did every single time. Every group of people that He encountered, He did it differently. But His message never changed. Jesus satisfies for life. Jesus gave them a message, gave them something exceptional to experience. In fact, the impression that it left on the disciples stayed with them forever. While the earthly pleasures, they continually disappoint. Those people were fed and they were amazed by what God did, by what Jesus did. But I guarantee you, by the next morning, they were hungry again. In fact, they followed Him and they went after Him again, and He said, I know why you're here. You're hungry. You want more physical food. He's like, but let me explain to you why I did what I did. And that's where we get John chapter 6. So good. And so for us, we can find all the earthly pleasures that we want, but we know that they are going to run out. But when I find spiritual truth, I am satisfied for a lifetime. Again, to go back to Ephesians 3:20, when I discovered that, it has satisfied me from here on out. When I face big stuff, I do not sweat it. Now, humanly, yes, I get a little anxious, but deep down, I know God will do something great. Another one for me was Micah 6:8. Yes, I'm going to throw it in again. Seriously, that is my life's passion and my favorite verse of all time. He's told me what He wants for me, to do what is right, to love being kind with people, and walk humbly with God. If I can do those three things, then I am right with Him. I'm doing what I'm called to do. That is God's will for all of us. That changed my life. It is something that I strive to do all the time. That is something that I can be satisfied on all the time. When I discovered the verse in Hebrews that talks about there are two things that God can't do, and one of those things is that He can't lie. And if God can't lie, and He said, if you will call upon Me, and you will confess that Jesus is Lord of your life, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. When I put those verses together, it solidified in my mind that I am saved once and for all, and I never worried about it again. Those are truths. Those are the meatiness of the Scripture that we can chew on and feed on. That's what He's talking about. The Word of life. The Word brings life. It gives us life because it is life. But earthly pleasures will continually disappoint. Jesus satisfies all who willingly believe in Him. This isn't the statement of, yeah, I know He exists. There are a ton of people who know Jesus exists and will tell you, yeah, I believe Jesus exists. I believe in God. But so do the demons. When I say that Jesus satisfies all who willingly believe in him, I'm talking about full-on sellout, give it all over. I'm going to trust you with everything, not just certain areas and portions of my life, but all of it. Jesus will satisfy. He will be enough for you. And by the way, there will be leftovers. There will be leftovers for those that are watching you grow and watching you experience God that they will be able to pick up and enjoy as well. And for those that are serving, you may not get everything that everybody else is getting, but there will be something that God will bless you with as you serve. Oh, look at that. Jesus also blesses those. Why is that in there multiple times? That was interesting. I want you to see this. He didn't change his message. You can read the Gospels, all four of them, back and forth, frontwards and backwards, however you want to read it. He never, ever changes his message, not once. It's always the same. But he employed a different method to meet the immediate need. Depending on who he was talking to, depending on who he was dealing with, he would change the method by which he was speaking, but he never, ever changed his message. Not once. And he simply offered himself to all who would follow. Listen, you have friends and you have neighbors, you have coworkers that are looking for all kinds of satisfaction in all kinds of wrong ways. And maybe even some of the ways that they're looking for that satisfaction is fine, it's good. But you're watching them struggle day in and day out, looking for that satisfaction, and it's never happening for them. And yet you stand on the sideline thinking, God, I'm not ready yet. I'm not prepared to tell them of the satisfaction that you bring me. Let me tell you something this morning. I can promise you, the Spirit of God in you is saying, you are prepared because I'm there. You are ready because I will give you what you need to share. You are ready to go, and you need to share. Give them what you have, because I will take what little ordinary thing that you give them and I will do something extraordinary that you can't see yet. Stop looking at what you think you can and can't do, or how far it will go or how far it won't go, and start believing that God will do something extraordinary with what little ordinary thing that you have. Until we truly realize his word is what will satisfy, we will continue to live unsatisfied lives. Maybe this morning you're sitting here thinking, man, I want to be content. I just want to be at ease. Why aren't you? What are you looking for? What are you looking to? What are you doing to bring satisfaction to your life? Are you really going after him the way you think you are? Or are you just fooling yourself? Let Jesus change your life this morning. Let Jesus take that ordinary thing that you think is unuseful, hand it over to him because he's asking for it, and let him do something extraordinary with it today. God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you for your truth, your word. Thank you for your message, God. Thank you for the scripture that we can feast on and eat on, knowing that it will bring us satisfaction. Lord, you did a miraculous thing with something so ordinary and small that was meant to feed a little boy. And yet you fed so many people. Not just gave them a taste like an appetizer, but you filled their bellies so much so that there were leftovers. Lord, that is what we long for. We want to leave here filled and satisfied. And we depend on the musicians to give it to us. We depend on the preacher to give that right sermon. And yet we fail to look at the one who can satisfy us the most, and that is you. Lord, may our hearts, may our eyes, may our ears be turned and tuned in to you, the one who satisfies us more than anything else. So Lord, I pray that it starts with me, it starts with us, it starts with our church, that you would move in our hearts to continue to fully give you all that we have, knowing that you will do something extraordinary with it. But Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to follow after you all the days of our life. And Lord, I know that we are surrounded by neighbors and friends and coworkers that hopelessly are looking for something to satisfy them. Help us to stop being scared. Help us to realize we are more prepared than we think because of you. Continue to work on our hearts, God. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for being amazing. In Jesus' name.